Always great to hear those greetings. Now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. Today, as I said, Psalm 23. I'm going to be dealing with the first four, but I'm going to go ahead and read all six verses. Because you never know what the Lord will tell me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. This whole concept of shepherd and God being a shepherd is not peculiar to our scripture. Other kings in biblical times have seen themselves as being shepherds. King Hammurabi, I think is how you pronounce that, was seen as a shepherd or called himself a shepherd. And if you remember in the hieroglyphs and things that you see from ancient Egypt, you see the Pharaoh with the smaller version of the shepherd's hook. And so that was a concept there even in that country. But God has especially identified himself to us as the shepherd. He identified himself as the shepherd in the Old Testament and also the New. And when we look at how God's people responded to him, we see responses such as when Joseph blessed his children. He said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." And then in Revelation, we really have that, there's that scary word again. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Nobody gasped. There's Revelation. In Revelation 7, it says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And so there in that verse 7:17, you have the whole concept of what I hope to present to you this morning. There you have the Lord as shepherd, you have the Lord as protector, and the Lord as comforter. Protector, that he will guide them to springs of living water. Comforter, he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so there you have that whole concept of what I hope to present to you today that is also given to us in Psalm 23. So we call the Lord our shepherd. And what exactly does that mean? Well, the Lord himself, if you think about it, God himself, in all of his glory, condescended. He came down to us and wanted to present himself to his people as a shepherd that would have intimate relationship with his sheep, as a shepherd who would guide and guard and comfort and bring all the needs of that flock together to them. And so you have a God that comes down to us tenderly and lovingly, leading us and protecting us. Now, if we were able to see all of the stuff that's going on around us and see the battle that's going on each and every day for the people of God. Now I say battle, it's not like God's victory is in doubt. It is not in doubt. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, to let us know that victory has been won and it's going to play itself out. But the spiritual battle that God has set in place for our soul, where he has him and his angels and the Spirit of God working within us and gathered around us and protecting us from that evil and guarding us and guiding us and giving us the comfort that we need at all times, as we continue our walk of faith with him, that will eventually lead to glory. Now that spiritual battle there is part of that whole shepherding concept, where he's protecting us, where he's comforting us, where he's leading us, he's guiding us, he's guarding us. But when we read a verse like Deuteronomy 31:8, where it says, "It is the Lord," this is Moses' words of comfort and encouragement to Joshua. If you remember, Moses had sinned. God had told him, because of that sin, you were not going to go into the promised land. And so Joshua is going to take over. So Joshua, a younger man, don't know if I can do this. Moses saying, giving him these words of encouragement. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. What does it mean to have the Lord go before you? You know, the attitude, the idea of a shepherd, that a shepherd comes and he calls his sheep out of the sheepfold, and they come to him because the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," calling us his sheep. And so as they come out of the sheepfold, and then we have that whole idea of the shepherd leading the sheep where the sheep need to go that day, going before them. And so when Moses is giving Joshua comfort with the idea of your God goes before you, have you ever thought about what that means? Like placing God before you, putting God before you. What does that mean when God goes before you? And how are we to get comfort and be guided by that? The meaning of that in my heart is that when we put God before us, we contemplate all that He is. We put God before us in a way that reminds us of the great love that He has for us as His people. The great idea of that shepherd that comes down to us in an intimate way and wants to have relationship with us, to guide us, to guard us, to comfort us, to do all of these things that we're talking about that this psalm highlights in our lives. But we focus upon God and all of His characteristics. We focus upon His righteousness and His holiness. We focus upon His truth, His wisdom, His love, His grace. And when we focus upon the Lord, then it puts into perspective all that we have around us. What did Jesus want Peter to do when He asked Peter to step out of the boat? He wanted him to look at me. He wanted him to look at Him. Don't take your eyes off of me. To let me be the focus of your life. Because God is telling us, when I'm the focus of your life, then all that I am, that I want to give to you when you are in relationship with me, then begins to mold and shape your life in a way that it is molded and shaped around my truth, God says, His truth, His wisdom, His love, His grace, His mercy, His worldview. And more as we place our faith and trust in Him, more and more as we follow Him, as we keep Him before us, that's also a concept of Him leading us where He needs us to be. As we do that more and more, we are beginning to focus, with our focus being on Him, more and more we're beginning to know the patterns. We had a mule. I don't know how old she was. I told about it. We called her Gray. And she just knew what plow you had behind her. You know, when you were laying by, you wanted the plow to be up a little bit on the row so that you could, you know, plow close to the plant, close to the crop. And she seemed to just sense what plow she was pulling, because when you'd get to the end of the row, she'd get up on the edge of the row. When you're busting middles, you know, she would get down in the middles. Why was that? Because she had been led and guided by hands before to learn what she needs to do. And that's the concept of following the shepherd. When we are led by Him, the more that we are led by Him, the more we begin to learn and develop that concept of Christ-like minds, where we begin to think like He does, to act like He does, to love like He does. And so that's that whole concept of keeping God before us. Keeping God before us. So that's the shepherd part of this. Now the Lord is comforter. When you see these words here, He makes me lie down in green pastures. There's a whole concept. It's not like when He says He makes me lie down, sometimes because of the translation and the wording, you might think of lie down sheep, push down and you stay here. That's not the concept. The concept is that He creates an environment, that He creates a peace, that He creates a relationship such that we are at ease. If you've ever watched a herd of animals, you grew up on a farm or you've seen on TV, if they are alert, they are not at peace. They're always looking around like, what's going on? We hear something. There's something out there that we're smelling. It's not right. It's a predator. We're fearful for our lives. I watch these videos sometimes, and wildlife videos, and these animals that come to drink. And, you know, sometimes your heart just goes out to them because, you know, they need to drink, and here's the source of water. But in that water are these 18-foot crocodiles that are ready to make a meal of them. And so that whole animal's body language, and he's trying to drink, you know, he's like got 1 foot back here on the plane, you know, and he's going to that water because he's on the alert. He is not at peace. And the concept here is we lie down, we bed in these green pastures because God has given us his peace. God has given us his shepherding. He has given us his comfort. He has given us his protection. And we trust in that. And we get at peace. Now, this whole concept of he is our shepherd, I want to kind of turn the spotlight back on the sheep with the time that I have before you today. Sheep have a shepherd, and that shepherd, as I shared with our young people, want to take the sheep to good places. Sometimes they're hard places, but he wants to take them to good places. But what happens is you get belligerent sheep, and sheep don't want to be led. They want to go places that they want to go. And sometimes we are belligerent sheep, and we don't want to have that concept of following. We don't want to have that concept of his truth. We want to make our own truth. We want to excuse our attitudes. We want to excuse our behaviors. We want to defend ourselves in all that we do because we just don't want to follow. We want to mark out our own way. And so we become belligerent sheep. We're not surrendered sheep to the guidance of the shepherd that we put our faith and trust in. And the same thing when he's trying to comfort us. We have to have that faith there. He makes me lie down. It's not that physical force, but it's creating an attitude of peace within me. We lie down because our protection, our comfort is found in the presence of Christ in our lives. This location of the lush forage, the green grass, is known by God. And it's in here. But he has to lead us to that place in here. And that has the concept of surrendering to that guiding. Surrendering to that leadership. In faith that he's going to lead us to a good place. Now it may be hard to get there. That peace may come because we have to go and make peace with an individual that we've been at odds with. That peace may come because we have to go and give forgiveness that we really don't want to give. That peace may come where we have to surrender to the will of God in our life, and we have fought it like I did for so many years, but it is a good place. And God knows that good place. And the shepherd wants to lead us to that good place. And so we as the sheep then need have our faith and trust. Our need is for that faith and trust to come in so that he can lead us to that place in here that he wants us to be. That fullness of the provision. When you think about, and again, I've shared this with you so many times, but it just blew my mind away when we went through this in Hebrew and back in seminary. Really green grass. It means it's just luscious, fresh, juicy grass. The stuff that animals just love to get into and forage and have a good time, because it talks about lushness. It's a place of providential care. And that's what he wants for us. That spiritual food and water of life is promised to all of us who follow that good shepherd. And we may thirst and hunger after many things. And you know, we fill our bodies. For those of us who have trouble surrendering to the truth of God, and we don't want to fill ourselves up with that truth, we don't want to fill ourselves up with his wisdom, we want to go about the look of church without being of the church, without being surrendered to the guidance of the body of Christ that we have in his headship. It's kind of like filling your body up with junk food. We're not hungry, but our body may be starving for nutrition because there's not a lot of nutrition in that junk food except for fat and salt and those kinds of things. So the vitamins and minerals that we need that are found in good food are not being taken in because we're so filled with the junk of life.